Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys at a kitchen table talking about Bitcoin and the broader Bitcoin space. Though we may own some of the equities and tokens discussed on the show, it doesn't mean that you should own them too. It's important to do your own research and due diligence, and also understand that any money invested could be lost. Nothing we say is financial advice, and honestly, you shouldn't ever take financial advice from two guys at a kitchen table, regardless of whether or not there's microphones in front of them. Friends and enemies, welcome to the first ever, it's kind of the first ever, eh, Len? The Canadian Bitcoiners podcast, Nooner. We're going to try and do these every week that we don't have an interview to put out. I'm saying that for my own benefit because like Len just told me, he wants to do them every week regardless of whether we have an interview. And sometimes I don't feel like doing it in the middle of the day, as everyone understands. But regardless, my name is Joey here as always with my co-host Len. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, great, Joey. And you know what? I'm going to try twisting your arm as much as possible to get you in a Nooner mood. That's why I'm here. Let's do it. But anyway,
we're getting banned on YouTube for these comments for sure.
So let's proceed forward. So right away, I just want to talk about we had Elizabeth Warren. And wow, Joey, just before I even talk about her, you start off like I'm kind of just gathering my thoughts about her, what she said, and essentially how she's attacking Bitcoin. I am not happy about this. So please, the floor is yours.
She's my least favorite senator, now part of the White House staff. I don't know what her exact role is. It's a good good question, I guess, for the YouTube comments or the Reddit comments. I don't know what her current... Oh, here it is. Senate Banking Committee? I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. Liz is a skeptic, okay, to put it kindly. And she's talking about... In this letter, she talks about how we can't leave... Well, I'll read the quote. Instead of leaving our financial system at the whims of giant banks, crypto puts the system at the whims of some shadowy, faceless group of super coders and miners, which doesn't sound better to me. What is she talking about? Who is a super coder? Are you a super coder?
No, I don't think any of us know any super coders. The fact that she's framing it as shadowy people... Let's go look at what's being offered here. We have an open source system. You could easily look at what is the code and decipher what it is that we are dealing with. There's nothing that is hidden. There's nothing that is behind the scenes. Everything is out in plain sight. Also, everything is done with consensus of the community. This is something which is not done within the traditional system right now, which is happening with the central banks and traditional banking system. What happens? A lot of decisions are done behind closed doors. What is the long-term outlook for these things? We don't know. Only they know. There's a lot of influence. There's a lot of backroom deals we are not privy to. And you know what? That's pathetic that she's saying this.
I'll tell you what the problem is. Okay, she was on MSNBC this morning with also like noted ill-fitting suit guy Andrew Sorkin, who hosts I don't know what show, but he's like the flagship guy. Also, one of the writers on Billions. Like, I don't know what education background or writer's chops this guy has, but somehow involved in the show Billions, which is a great show. You should check that show out if you haven't already. She was on there this morning, and he brings up the wealth tax, okay? And she is on this crusade to tax anyone who has any wealth sitting around anywhere. And she mentions, like, paintings, real estate, Amazon shares, and she's like, I'm talking about you, Jeff Bezos. Like, you're an idiot. Bezos and his crew came for you on Twitter a few weeks ago and made you look like a dummy, because you are a dummy. The policy position that this woman holds is that any growth you experience in the value of your assets has to be taxed, whether you realize the growth or not. Here's the problem with that. Like we talked about in the show many times, with inflation, the growth is coming faster and faster, but you're actually losing purchasing power for that same amount of money, unless you're one of these cantillionaires, right? So for people like you and me, and I will preface this with, she says that the policy is going to be if you have more than 50 million in assets. I, you know, I'm old enough to remember, Len, when, you know, a million was this number that was unattainable. If you were a millionaire, blah, blah, blah. You know, you had some kind of wealth in your possession. You were a mover and shaker. Now, you know, I'm probably worth $1 million. My wife and I are probably worth $1 million. Your wife and you are probably worth $1 million. And most of my friends, honestly, Len, like if you've had a house for 5-6 years, you're probably worth $1 million.
Yeah, you're on your way.
Yeah. So like, you know, this is like, it's bogus. This number, this threshold is bogus. Don't listen to anyone who tells you that these thresholds are important or will protect you. They won't. And even if they do at first, you will either creep into them or they will creep down to you. We've talked about that on the show before too. That aside, she's talking about this tax of unrealized gains. Now here's the problem. If you have Bitcoin, how are you going to tax the 24 words in my head, Len? You got any idea? How are you going to do it? The problem is you can't, right? And so she's, of course, naturally getting on television, these friendly networks who are saying like, oh, I'm coming for you guys. Like, no. Much like we've discussed on this show previously, in addition to the things I've already mentioned, tax laws are not for the rich. The rich pay to evade taxes, right? Legally, of course. They have loopholes in the laws and stuff like that. And this is not an issue for these guys. The problem is the tax laws are an issue for people who are too poor to receive the payouts and not rich enough to pay somebody to dodge them. That's you and me. That's Bitcoiners. That's people who have middle-class jobs, middle-class wage, middle-class homes, middle-class everything. Okay? That's university graduates. It's college graduates. It's that crop of people. And the reason it's that crop of people, like as if I'm breaking any news here, that's the crop of people who's too busy to do the research themselves and figure this stuff out. And also has like still this little inkling of hope that taxing the rich is going to make their life easier. It's a deadly cocktail of naivete. I was going to use a stronger word, but naivete is what I'll settle on. So I don't know. What do you think? Am I dreaming that this stuff is obviously going to come creeping down to the middle class and that the Bitcoin thing really is the problem is that she can't see it and can't tax it if it's just 24 words in my head, or am I missing something?
No, you're bang on. This is a really big attack on the middle class as well as Bitcoin. She's going to continue to do this. And that $50 million number, that's an arbitrary number. It could be lowered at any time, and it can encompass even those people sitting in the middle class ranks right now. So let's look at what she's trying to do. She's trying to back the traditional banking system and trying to keep that afloat. You know, it's our time, our effort, you know, essentially what we do for our job. We work hard for decades upon decades. And at the end of the day, we try to like at least have enough at the end of the day that we could have a good retirement and so forth and pass it on to our kids. But the governments, they could easily just with a keystroke or through some, you know, backroom deal, they could print money just to make ends meet on their end. We don't have that ability. And at the same time, whenever that's done, we lose. We are the end result. We are losers. And it's too bad. And Bitcoin kind of changes that. It turns the tables around where it basically gives us the opportunity to store our value in an asset that is it's not going to be divided any further. 21 million is all we have. Really what she is, she's one of two things. Either she's just blind to what like Bitcoin has to offer or essentially she's shilling for the banks. Now, given her position in the Senate, I suspect the latter more than the former, but maybe she is blind. I mean, shadowy figures, coders. Well, what about shadowy jet setters that are trying to hide behind staffers? You know what? She is essentially... she is a fiat snob, plain and simple, and has no desire to like expand her mind and to understand the fact what Bitcoin has to offer for us plebs. You know, I'm going to give you an analogy. I'm a tennis snob. I'm going to show you something. For the people that are not watching, that this is a tennis ball. It's a used tennis ball.
Range ball? What's that red mark?
It's just somebody put a red mark in it. I will not use this tennis ball to play tennis. Because it is a used ball, it's old, it's everything. But I understand there's a value to this tennis ball. Somebody else could use it to play tennis or cut it up and put it on a chair or whatever or anything. There's a value to this ball. Although I won't play with it and I'm a tennis snob, I understand there's value to this. She, as a fiat snob, should understand there's value to Bitcoin. She should understand that. And the longer she has her head in the sand, the longer she's going to remain irrelevant.
How did you manage to type all that up or like think about that in the last like hour when we were picking the topic? That's incredible.
I'm very angry. You know what? She was my previous no coiner of the week. She may also reappear as another no coiner going forward. We'll see. There's still lots to be played out between now and when we rip our next podcast. I'm very angry with her. I'm very angry with our next topic. If you want to move on to that, but
I don't yet. Let's go one more layer deep on old Liz here. Okay. We'll call her old Liz. Chief lying bull. Okay. Chief, this lying bull. Also don't forget now that you mentioned that private jet incident where she's trying to get in single file behind her staffers, the hide that she's a crook and a liar. How about this? She's been advocating for these laws for, you know, pollution and green energy and stuff like that. She flies a private jet. Did you see where some of these laws have come down so far I don't know if it's the US or the EU. You haven't?
No.
Okay.
I'm curious.
So
I thought
it's
you
funny. I know we're just looking at each other like, have you? No.
Okay. I just thought you were going to speak on it.
I'll tell you where they came down. This is what happened is these guys now are saying that if you have a private jet, you're exempt if you use it for business or for what can be perceived as economic benefit. And then also, Len, you're also exempt if you use it for recreational benefit. So to me, I'm pretty sure that just means exempt. So you and me again paying the taxes and the guys with the fucking jets who are polluting the most per person don't have to do anything. Come on, man. Give me a break. Is this for real? Who is looking? Like, I would have understood a decade ago if you were simping for some of these politicians, okay? I liked Bernie Sanders first time I saw him. I thought he was endearing. I was a kid. I didn't know any better, you know? But these policies where it's so obvious, and you described it a different way. I would say the policies reflect that these people are either stupid or lying. And it's very clear to me that they're lying because these guys ride private jets. We know what Pelosi Capital Management is capable of with their puts and calls strategy. One of the best performing funds of the last 50 years over the course of her time in Congress.
What's the Berkshire out to lunch with her?
Yeah, Berkshire. Yeah. I'm waiting for the Pelosi shareholders call. When's that one? Well, let's get her up there with Warren and Charlie. We can all talk about Bitcoin and how rich they are. It's a joke, man. And everyone's got to stop talking about how, one political party is going to get us out. Other political party is going to get us out. Like, it's not going to happen. Some people want to take from one chunk of people. Other people want to take from more people than these other people are going to get taken from. It's only a matter of time until it's you. And as you grow your wealth through Bitcoin or through family or through inheritance or whatever, through work and dedication, you're going to be targeted more and more. Because the point, like, the bread and circuses thing doesn't just apply to stuff like inflation and doesn't just apply to stuff like price movements and investing and stuff like that. The bread and circuses thing applies to you're too busy to figure out how to avoid these things. You're too busy. There's an entire industry of people who take advantage of how busy you are to help you save on your taxes, right? The accountants and private investment brokers and stuff like that. These guys are wise. Lawyers, estate planners. These guys are very wise. They will help you for a cost. But they know that, right? That there's a legit industry built on bread and circuses in finance for people who have been told that all you have to do to succeed is work. It's a lie. You have to be smart with your money and you have to be smart about how you build your wealth and the tricks you use on the way up. I would tell you that as someone in their 30s, if I had known in my 20s, how important stuff like TFSAs were, it's not my dad's fault. He tried to tell me every day. I just didn't take the lesson, right? But, you know, for people now, you got to really look at this stuff and figure out how you're going to protect your wealth. And I know I have a couple of friends who are lawyers, and I've heard them say, like, you know, once you get to a certain level of wealth or you have a second property, incorporate. You should incorporate because you get tax breaks. Who among your friends, Len, is talking to you at a dinner party about incorporating? The answer is no one, because no one knows this stuff unless you're friends with a couple of guys who passed the bar. How are you supposed to know? You can't figure this out for yourself, right? It's very difficult to make these inroads.
People I rub elbows with, we all wear monocles and top hats. This topic of discussion comes out every day whenever we have our dinner parties. So don't paint me in that brush. I am with the elite. But you're damn right.
You guys wear the skull masks or whatever when you have dinner parties and dance around the candles. Is that you guys?
Absolutely.
What is the name of that meeting? Hildenberg or whatever? Is that?
Is that it?
I forget. But anyway, the point, before we move on to the next one, the point is, no matter what the politicians say to you, man, no matter what your favorite like celebrity says to you about taxes, and like I heard Elizabeth Warren on MSNBC this morning talking about how, like, if we just tax all the wealthy people a little bit, we could pay for post-secondary education. We could pay for food for the poor. We could fix housing issues. Like, the problem has never been that the money is unavailable. The problem is that the bureaucracy can't spend it efficiently and effectively. That's the issue. The money is free. It's printed every day. You don't think any of that money – like, the problem is not the money, man. It's the bureaucracy. And, you know, it's just – it blows my socks off that this woman gets on television every two or three days and just says something so profoundly uninformed and stupid, whether it's about this wealth tax or Bitcoin or whatever. Like, shadowy coders, what are you talking about? You can see who's mining. The council is there. Like, all these guys, there's ways for you to see this stuff, and you're not seeing it because your career depends on you not seeing it, and that's the problem.
Yeah, and don't get guilt-tripped every time you have to fill up your car with gasoline, because this lady does not have any guilt whatsoever when she fills her private jet up with jet fuel and goes to whatever destination that she wants to go at on a whim. while we're just trying to drive to work to make ends meet. Do not feel the guilt. She is the one that is pushing that guilt on us, but she's the one that should be feeling it, not us. It's the table should be turned around. This is absolute nonsense, and we shouldn't be taking it any further. And just transitioning forward to the next topic, we have the IMF, and those stooges came out with a blog just 2 days ago on July 26th saying about crypto assets as national currency, a step too far. Now, the good thing about this blog, and I'm very happy that they've done this, because there's two names that they've associated with this blog. In the past, they've always been nameless, but now we have two people, Tobias Adrian and Rhoda Weeks Brown. So these are two people. They are contenders for No Coiner of the Week. You might be hearing their name coming up in the next little while. And they are basically bringing on the FUD. They're laying it on thick, because El Salvador is coming on with using Bitcoin as a cryptocurrency. I believe the 7th or 8th of September, I forget the exact date, will be the official date when they will be adopting it. So it's just around the corner. What they're afraid of, they're afraid to be made irrelevant thanks to Bitcoin. I understand that. I could understand their point of view, but I don't agree with their point of view. They're trying to fight for their own existence, but you know what? It's not going to work. We are going to win. We are going to survive. We are going to make these people like dinosaurs, a thing of the past, and we will just have a museum just to remember them. Fuck them.
I was just thinking in my head that I've been swearing too much, because I know we can't put swear words on YouTube. Now I'm going to have to blank all these out.
Leave that one in. They pissed me off.
You should be mad. Okay, let's go through. On these Nooners, we're only going to cover a couple topics, but we're going to have some fun doing it. Unlike the other show where we try and actually like pin down numbers for you and give you some actionable advice. This is going to be us spitballing. So in this article, okay, you mentioned El Salvador. This is whatever, new digital forms of money have the potential to provide cheaper and faster payments, la, 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 la. We've heard all this stuff before, but using them is not so straightforward. It requires significant investment as well as difficult policy choices, public-private sector roles, la, 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 la. Some countries may be tempted by a shortcut, adopting crypto assets as national currencies. And it talks about how they're secure and cheap to transact. This is the part where I know this is like the stupider lying test again, okay? Crypto assets are privately issued tokens based on cryptographic techniques and denominated in their own unit of account. Their value can be extremely volatile. What about that is a lie, Len? Did you catch the lie in there?
Sorry, I was blowing my nose here. I missed
it. I'll help you with the lie. The lie is that crypto assets are not privately issued tokens. Securities that are getting regulated to you know, the seventh circle of hell right now by the SEC, those are privately issued. But you know what's not privately issued? Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a public ledger, proof of work, all the stuff you want to see in a hard money. And so that's not privately issued. They talk about how it reached a peak of 65,000 in April, blah, 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 crashed less than half. This is the thing I don't understand.
And it still has value, they're saying.
Yeah, of course it does. And they know that. So it's hard. They can't contend that this doesn't have value, because it's an argument that would just get torn to bits, right? The thing they talk about here is that they're, you know, it's hard to like have a stable macroeconomic environment and a stable currency environment if Bitcoin is your currency, because if it is, what you end up with is this, you know, price volatility moving up and down, and it's dangerous to invest in this stuff because you just don't know where the price is going to go. I would argue, okay, again, I am not a registered investment anything, registered banking anything, and so take my opinion with a grain of salt, with a table, a bucket of salt if you want to. But I would say that the US dollar is as fragile a currency as you will ever see, as we have ever seen on this planet right now, today. We have the Federal Reserve in the United States headed up by Jerome, who cannot even mention the words asset tapering or purchase tapering or mortgage backed or economic recovery or economic downturn. He can't even say them on television. He cannot utter those words on TV. He can't write them. He can't say them. He can't do anything with those words. Because if he does, the market will react violently. And we've seen that. Famously, before the Cerveza sickness came up a few years ago. I wonder if YouTube will like that one. Before the Cerveza sickness came up a few years ago, there was that taper tantrum where Powell talked about tapering back and pulling back on asset purchases from the Federal Reserve. And the market crashed 8% or 9% in a day or something like that, if I remember correctly. And he was just talking about it. this is not a stable currency. What you're seeing here is a very complex puppet show where one string pulls, the other string has to go, and then more strings and more strings. It's basically a Rube Goldberg machine to keep your currency at some level that looks to you to be respectable. Like we talked about before, this Truman Show idea where these guys are trying to paint a picture for you that keeps you from getting in the boat and heading toward the exit or trying to find the exit. The problem is, like I've mentioned, people are in the boats now, okay? The exit sign is kind of lit up faintly in the background. They don't know what it is, and this is the storm, okay? The storm is stuff like this. The storm is stuff like Liz Warren. The storm is stuff like CBDCs. They are trying for real now, okay? Like Len has mentioned before, for real now, to get you to come back to the shore and just keep playing the game and keep living your life. You know, wake up in the morning when you're 10 years old, go to school till you're 18, then pay somebody to educate you so that you can pay it back while you work and then retire with some kind of semi-legitimate lifestyle. To me, the problem is not anything to do with Bitcoin. The problem is that the system failed before Bitcoin even showed up and people started to realize it. And now this thing has presented itself as an option.
Joey, do you know how much the US dollar has fallen in value since the Federal Reserve came into existence?
I fell in value against what?
Well, in terms of like how much it's been devalued since the inception. So
you could kind of, I guess like 99%.
You're correct. It's around the 99% range. And that's not ancient history. Well, I think it's, for some people it might be, I think it's the 1920s, the Federal Reserve came into effect, or maybe 1930s. So 90 to 100 years ago, give or take. And that's a long time. That's not a long time for the value of the dollar, the US dollar, to fall that far. And it's pretty pathetic, especially since they're mandated to try to control inflation, but they haven't done so. The system that's set up, it's set up for debt, essentially with fractional reserve systems. And you've mentioned in Canada, it's kind of gone by down the wayside since 1992. But this whole system, of using banks, putting money into banks, and then it getting lent out and so forth, it creates a system of debt. And as long as this system is in place and it's working, we kind of have blinders in our eye, and we kind of just accept it. But when there's cracks in the system, then you could easily find like what is the issue and what is the problem. And having this perpetual debt laden system doesn't work long term. Eventually it has to come crashing down. It's a house of cards, first gust of wind, and it's done. It's going to happen in a not too distant future. You have to prep yourself for it. And just want to go back to the IMF, what they were saying. And I'm going to give a little quote here because it's absolutely pathetic what they're saying. If goods and services were priced in both a real currency and a crypto assets, then households and businesses would spend significant time and resources choosing which money to hold as opposed to engaging in productive activities. So essentially you're going to be spending all your time and effort figuring out which currency to use, and that's going to draw you away from actually being productive as an individual. Hell no. how could they spin it that way? It doesn't take more than 2 minutes to figure out exactly which is the better of the two currencies. And even if you don't have the ability to do so, just open up a book or go online and start reading, and then you can invest 10 minutes to figure it out. It's not going to take away from productivity for us to figure out which is the better of the two currencies. In fact, it's going to make us more productive because the money that we're going to be putting into Bitcoin and keeping in Bitcoin is going to be making us more wealthy long-term, or at least maintaining our value long-term. And it's not going to be pissed away due to money printing. These guys, they are out to lunch. They're fighting for their lives. I understand that, but I don't agree with it. And you know what? Screw them.
Sometimes they say the quiet part out loud. Like later in the article, when they say that crypto assets can be used to evade taxes, like, you know, I'm not a tax evader myself. I haven't realized any gains. I'm not living under the Warren regime yet. But the point sort of is to not have to deal with this nonsense, right? Like, for example, okay, like this wealth tax is completely unenforceable without thinking about Bitcoin, because what are they going to do? They're going to tax me, Len, when the price of lumber goes up and my fence becomes more valuable. I'm going to have to realize gains on the boards that are planted in my backyard. No.
When MPAC comes around, they're going
to. Maybe. Yeah, they may. I don't know. But are they going to tax me on my spikes, like my cleats there, which are very nice, I have to say, but they're not going to come around and be like, hey, this is what they're worth. And also, I got news for you. If my capital starts decreasing in value, I damn well better get a write-off, because that's the only way this is going to be fair at all, right? And then you're going to see people do this other stuff that, you know, like we talked about before, tax loopholes. But back to the IMF thing. Of course, okay, these guys are painting this picture of danger. Financial integrity could also suffer without robust anti-money laundering and combating the financing of terrorism measures. Did we not just go through this during the B word? How much of the dollar is used?
Cash
how much
is
of the,
king.
Yeah, how much? Yeah. The dollar is like, it's like 4% of the total total use of the dollar, okay?
Yeah.
Do you know how many people buy like everything with the dollar? Groceries. Like for that number of 4% to be the total like illicit use, that is a ton of damage you're doing to the fabric of society through that illicit use, okay? And also, you know, Len, you know what I'd love to know? I'd love to know what percentage of that 4% is stuff like marijuana, MDMA, magic mushrooms, stuff that's going to be legal in the States as a therapeutic, I would guess in the next 10 years, if not sooner. So as soon as you take that away, what's the other, you know, what's the other 4%? Is it guns? Maybe, I'm not sure. But there's no way that that number 4% is really even as big as they're pretending it is, right? And, you know, there's this 2% of Bitcoin, it's all that stuff. So you take that stuff away, and then what? Well, you know, how much Bitcoin is funding terrorism? I would guess very little. It's too transparent, too easy to pin down. How much Bitcoin is used to evade taxes? I would guess very little. Everything is KYC AML if you're on an exchange in the States or Canada or Europe. So, or like even South Africa, someplace in South America, still same things. And we've seen how the SEC will come for you. It doesn't matter if you're on their shores or not. They don't care. They got a long arm, those guys. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, when you're dealing with terrorism and whatnot, you're talking about large sums of money. And if it's going to be done on a blockchain, you could, I know there's services to kind of hide it, but the amount of money, the amount of Bitcoin you need to actually fund some of these organizations, it's going to be noticeable. You could actually see which wallets is getting large sums of Bitcoin. So again, this is just a lot of FUD. I don't believe what they're saying. If you read between the lines, they're fighting for their existence. And you know what? I'm not happy with this. I'm trying to restrain myself for the YouTube algorithms.
Yeah, that's all we're gonna say about that. I think that's it. Are we gonna wrap it up? This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna do these nooners, one or two things, just rip back and forth, and then call it a day. Half an hour, 25 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. The only thing I would ask is, comment away if you like it. We'll continue doing it. If not, you know, this is a one-off, and screw you. I'm just kidding. But honestly, thank you for listening. And we've been getting such great support for the past little while, and every week it's getting better and better. And I just want to thank our listeners and our viewers on YouTube for tuning in and listening. And it's been very good. The vibe is fantastic, and we're very happy with what's going on.
The vibe, your vibe is your tribe, baby. Let's get this coin. Also, thank you, Ali, for the finally showed up my Tahini's Bitcoin shirt. I had to pay for this, but that's okay. Happy to support the cause. God bless Tahini's, and God bless Ali for putting this together.
I'm going to make that as the picture on YouTube with you holding up. That's for sure. That's it. Yeah. For sure.
Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.